second coming of Christ. It's an exceedingly sweet theme because it's the second coming of Christ. So that has everything to do with Christ. Because we love Christ. Because we long for Christ. Because we look for Christ. And as it was in His first advent, so it is in the second advent that we are looking for, waiting for, watching for, praying, fasting for the consolation of Israel. Consolation of Israel. I'd like to further comfort your hearts, strengthen you. Some words. You pray one more time with me. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we humbly bow before your throne, Lord God. Father of light, the Father of spirits, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and our Father. Bow our hearts before you, Lord God. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would come, that you would shed abroad the comfort of thy Holy Ghost, that you would shed abroad the consolation of thy Spirit, that you would help us, O Lord God, in our weakness, that you would strengthen us in our feebleness, that you would embolden us, Lord God. Help us, O Lord God, to have a heart hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens shall be on fire, and the clouds shall be rolled up like a scroll, and the earth shall dissolve under our feet, and we should be running, we should be hasting, we should be looking and longing. For that day is our consolation. That day is the great change. That day is the day of our coronation, the day of our redemption, the day that we long for and we look for. The day when all things are delivered unto Christ and the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord Jesus Christ, and death itself is swallowed up in victory. Oh, how we long for it, Lord God. How we look for it, Father. Oh, would you come, Lord God? Would you establish our hearts, Lord God? Would you still us in your presence? For those that are not ready, those that are not soberly considering their lives, eternity, their calling, for those that are not looking for you, humble them to the dust. Shatter them. Break them. Oh, Lord God, let their loins be loose, Lord God. Let fearfulness surprise them. Take hold of them now and grip them now. Lest it grip them for all of eternity in the portion of hypocrites, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth forever, without intermission. Portion of unbelievers. Help us to believe you, Lord God. You're coming. To live lives worthy. To be received of you. To be found of you. In peace. Without spot. Blameless. Faultless. Before the throne of thy glory. Because we love you. Evidenced by our waiting for you. Come and speak. We pray. As we close this service. Pray, O God, that you give me the grace to tie up every loose end, to comfort every soul that still has not yet been comforted, to smite the pride, the countenance that has not been humbled before you. Lord, we commit this all to you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man, O God. O God, beside Thee, what Thou hast prepared, what Thou hast laid up, what Thou hast in store, what Thou hast treasured up for those that love Thee. That love Thee. Isaiah chapter 66. The scripture is taken from Isaiah 66 verse 4. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside Thee, what He hath prepared for him that waiteth for Him. That waiteth for Him. Brethren, this is the point, this is what it all hinges upon, this is what makes sense of Ryan's sermon, is that the evidence that you love Him is that you're looking for Him. That you're not looking for another, that you're not looking to another, that you're not waiting for the appearance of any other object, any other person, anything but the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the evidence. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18. Ryan went through these passages. I'm not going to read them all. Consider this. In light of verse 13 through 18, this is what it comes to. In light of these fearful things, when all of the earth shall hear a peal, shall hear a shout, shall hear a voice, shall hear a trump. Verse 16, when all these things shall come to pass, and those that have no hope perish without hope. Those that have not been looking, those that have not been waiting, perish with the hypocrites, as hypocrites, with the unbelievers. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so, through this way, over this ford, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. This is the means to our end. This great, dreadful day, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, seeing that this is the way that God has chosen, predestined that we shall meet Him and ever be with Him. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. These words that you have just heard, brethren, should comfort you. They should minister consolation to your heart. And they will, brethren, if you are looking for nothing else, for no one else, if you are looking to one thing and to one person alone, it will minister something to you of comfort. It should. Chapter 5, verse 9. In light of these verses from verse 1 to verse 11, dreadful things. Sudden destruction, like a snare coming upon all the earth. Travail upon a woman with child, and many will not escape. Most humanity, most in that generation will not escape. Verse 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. That is your lot, Christian. That is what God has appointed you to, in the end, obtain salvation. He wants you to make it. He's given you all things pertaining to life and godliness. He's left you all that He has. He's put it in your possession. He's put it in your charge. Everything that you need to make it, He has given it to you. It just says, be faithful. Just love me. Wait for me. Watch for me. You will obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as ye also do. These words should comfort Christian. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Preparing to open up another fearful view, fearful aspect of the second coming of Christ, when He shall come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Opening this up, preparing to open this doctrine, He says in verse 7, and you who are troubled in this wicked world of sin and death, where you are troubled, where as you look and wait and watch for the appearing of the one that will bring comfort and consolation to your soul, you who are troubled here, rest with us.
Amen.
Rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels.
Hallelujah.
Joy on His brow, like a halo of glory, shall Jesus receive His own. Oh, Lord Jesus, how long? How long till we sing the glad song? Christ returning. Hallelujah. Even so, even in light of these dreadful aspects and views of the coming wrath and judgment in the day of God, wherein the heavens shall be on fire, the earth and the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Rest with us when He shall be revealed. Are you troubled, brethren? Are you troubled by sin? Are you troubled? Are you grieved by the wickedness, by the lust, by the temptations, by the apostasy? Are you troubled, brethren? Are you troubled by the shipwreck of faith that Christianity in America has made, Christianity at large? Are you troubled? Rest with us. You should be comforted. Matthew 24 and 25. I believe that this topic is the burden of God, because I believe that we are nearer than ever before to this day. I believe that it's the burden of God. It's on my heart, separate from Ryan's. Both been preaching about it separate from one another. Sean and Peru preached 2 sermons on this very subject. It should be what we are looking for, what we are waiting for, what we are talking about, what we are comforting one another, not speaking of the things of this life and the things of this world, the things that now are, but the things of that world and the things of those heavens, the things of that life shall be revealed, the life that is right now in Jesus Christ, which we shall have brought to fruition in ourselves. That should be our conversation. Matthew 24, based upon the disciples' question to Christ, threefold, but regarding His coming. What's the sign of your coming? It's the sign of the end of the world. What's the sign of these things? In Christ, from the very beginning, brethren, from the very beginning, His speech, his conversation, his preaching is intense. It's meant to stir you up. It's meant to strike you with an awareness of the urgency, of the imminence of this event. Take heed. From the very beginning. Chapter 24, verse 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed. Take heed. And you'll see this all throughout his conversation. In Matthew 24 and Matthew 25, one unbroken discourse, the longest discourse that Christ will give on this issue. Take heed. Verse 6. See. See. Beware. Be alert. Verse 25. Behold. Everything is trying to stir them up to an urgency, to watchfulness. Verse 42. Watch, therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. I will say again, like I said last week, if your doctrine, what you believe regarding the second coming of Christ, is causing you to sleep, causing you to relax, causing you to not be urgent, fervent, full of desire, full of longing and waiting and watching and hoping, earnestness, fervency, it's heresy, it's evil. It's not the doctrine of Christ. Everything that I hear Christ speaking of when he comes to this one issue of his second coming is to stir up those that would hear him. Stir them to watchfulness, to wakefulness, to readiness. Be ye therefore ready, Christ said. Verse 13 of chapter 25. Watch, therefore, for ye know not what day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Be ready. They which were ready, of the 10 virgins, they which were ready, which really believed Christ's words, that it's an urgent matter, that it's something to be ready for, that it's something that you will be deceived of yourself and by many false prophets which are abounding in that day, that are deceiving many. Because iniquity abounds, the love of many shall wax cold. In that generation, brethren, it is not heresy, it is not false to believe that many, most, because like an avalanche, sin is falling upon the people of God. Many of them, most of them, their love is going to wax cold. They aren't ready. That's not unreasonable. That's what Christ said. These words, every prophecy, every warning, every parable that he gives in answer to this question, what's the sign? What's the end of the world going to be like? Christ just says, watch. Be ready. What I say unto you, I say unto all. Watch! He's just stirring them up. Awake! Be sober. I define sobriety last week as having the mind that you wish, think, desire that you would have then when all these things come to pass. Having that mind now. Having that watchfulness, that vigilance, that wakefulness, that readiness now that you wish, that you think, that you desire to have then. Having that now. And then you're like that good virgin, that wise virgin that's preparing, that's bringing oil in their vessels with them. Because you know you're going to need it. Because you know you have to be set, dead set for the long haul, or you will not make it. You won't be ready. Because the hour that you think he won't come is the very hour that he will come. And so you prepare against that midnight hour when the other foolish virgins' oil is running out. It's fearful, brethren. Running out! Their oil is running out, and they have nothing. They can get nothing. It's running out. So we lay up oil in our vessels that it won't run out. Don't deceive yourself. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. So doing. Doing the work of God right now. Blessed is that servant. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. My Lord delayeth his coming. And as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And as you think in your heart, so are you, so will you live. And if you think that he's delaying his coming, and he's slack concerning his promise, that all things continue on as they were from the creation, from the beginning of all things, since the fathers fell asleep, everything's continuing, nothing's changing, his judgments are slumbering and sleeping. Wake up. Wake up, foolish virgin. Be watching always. Be wakeful. Be ready always. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. He springs upon him, opens the door, and sees his servant doing just as he had bidden him. And more! Improving upon the grace of God. Bounty. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. The Lord of that servant shall come in an hour that he looketh not for him. Shall cut him in sunder. Divide him his portion with hypocrites. Hypocrites! Don't be one. Oh, what fearfulness shall surprise the hypocrites. Be one. Christ has spoken these things that you would be saved. Christ has prophesied, has warned, has given parable, forceful story after forceful story that you wouldn't be the tale that's told. The life of a normal Christian, brethren, of a normal Christian, is a life of readiness, watchfulness, soberness. That's the life of a Christian. A normal, right, proper Christian. Don't be a hypocrite. Anything else is hypocrisy. Look for the one that you love, or you don't love him. If you're not waiting for him, you don't love him. Don't fool yourself. Don't lie to yourself. Don't be surprised in the end. God's telling you now, solemnly declaring, protesting against your sins. If you're not looking for him, you don't love him. Don't love him. So, my heart has been so enlarged this week, meditating on these things. When God gives me something, brethren, I don't just replay that over and over, repeat it over and over, the same words, the same phrases, the same thoughts, same meditations, the same scriptures over and over and over in my mind. I'm wanting to enlarge upon it. I'm wanting to chew. I'm wanting to digest it. I'm wanting it to grow and expand and enlarge my heart. So I'm going on. If you have, God will give you more. If you have not, God will take away even that which you seem to have. Chapter 25, verse 14. What a glorious parable. What a terrible parable. All these parables, like I said, is to redefine all of these parables from chapter 24, verse 45, on through the close of chapter 25, all pertain, all have to do with this one issue of His returning, of the end of the world, of the judgment. End of chapter 24, the first of these four parables is general. It addresses all aspects of His coming, of the life of a Christian in waiting and watching, and the life of a hypocrite and not waiting and not watching for the coming of His Lord. And the judgment, the coming, the judgment of those. Chapter 25, verse 1 through 13 is particularly addressing the season, the time, and how it will be in those days. In those days, then, at His coming, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto, etc. Chapter 25, verse 31, through the close, when the Son of Man shall come, speaking of the judgment, particularly treating, dealing with this aspect of His coming. The judgment. One is the season, what it shall be like, what will be the signs of the time, how ought you to live in that season. This, verse 31 on, treating with His judgment in the end. Verse 14 through verse 30, particularly treating, dealing with this aspect, how ought we to live in light of this kingdom, in light of these warnings, in light of these things, in light of His coming, in light of His judgment. If we really believed He was coming, if we really believed that He was going to judge the quick and the dead, how would we live? How then should we live? In light of the kingdom of heaven, light of His coming, light of the judgment. Verse 14, the parable of the talents. The kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants, those that he called. He's calling them to himself. It's you, brethren. It's me. All those whom our Lord hath called, calls to himself servants, and deliver unto them His goods. His goods. Everything that He had. All of the benefits. All of the prospects. All of the wealth that He had. He delivered it to you. Delivered it to you. All that I have is yours. He gives you all that He has. Could you ask for more? Is it reasonable that it would increase in His absence? Is it reasonable that He would expect so much from you? Delivered unto them His goods. And when He ascended, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. That's what He did. He gave gifts to men, and unto one He gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, speaking of spiritual gifts, these gifts that He gave to men when He ascended up on high, leading captivity captive. He gave gifts to you of His own goods. He gave them to you. He entrusted them to you. Delivered unto those whom He called to be His servants, His goods. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, the working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, diverse kinds of tongues, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit. It's all of God, dividing to every man severally, as He will. As it appears here in 1 Corinthians 12, it appears as though it's only taken into account the arbitrary will of God, and He's just dispensing them at His will. There's something else taken into account. Verse 15, the arbitrary will of God. Yes, there's something deeper. There's something else that God is considering to you as He dispenses His grace in your life. As He entrusts you with His own goods before He leaves for a time, expecting that you would prosper and improve the grace that you have been shown and given freely. You have received freely. Give. You have received freely. To every man He dispensed according to His several ability. You see that? Yes, the arbitrary will of God that He's dispensing as He will. The gifts of His grace. But there's something else that God is taking into consideration. God knows you. He knows just how He's fashioned you in Christ. He knows your abilities. He knows you better than you know yourself. And He calls those things that are as though they were. And He comes to you. And before He gives you the grace that He is going to dispense in your life, that He knows that when He comes, He's going to expect payment from that very grace. First, He examines. He tries. He proves. He sees. He knows what is your several ability. And thus He gave to the one 5. And thus He gave to the other 2. And thus to the other 1. And brethren, that man with the 1 talent, God knew that he could bring forth 1 more. By the grace that was shown him, that he could. That he was able. He judged and gave to each man. Or you call God a liar. He gave to each man according to his several ability. Not beyond. Not below. God knows you. God knows. Don't mock God. Don't call God a liar. God knows. He knows just how much to give you. How much to require of you. He is not a hard man. And he that received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Oh, look at the mercy, brethren. Look at the grace of God. Account that the long suffering of God is salvation. After a long time. After a long time. The man with the 5 had brought in his 5. The man with the 2 had brought in his 2. And after a long time. A long time. God's waiting for you to wake up. He's waiting for you to rise. To do work. That when he comes, he might not find a hypocrite standing in his house. Naked and ashamed before his appearance and his coming. The Lord delays his coming for you. Hypocrite. For you. Man who is tempted to think that God is a hard man. And he's going to reap from you where he has not sowed. He's going to gather from you where he has not straw. Lie. Damning lie of the hypocrite in hell, gnashing his teeth for all of eternity. The lie from the wretched mouth of this man who's about to gnash his teeth forever. Don't believe it. I knew thou wert a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sowed, gathering where thou hast not strawed, and I was afraid. Lo, there, thou hast thy design. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant. That's part of the matter. Wicked, slothful servant. Thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I would have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Don't be this man. Listen to the confession, brethren. The confession and the reception of those that just believe their Lord. Oh, brethren, he was not a hard man. He wasn't. Did he reap from the man with 5 where he did not sow, gather where he had not straw? No. Did he gather from the man with 2 talents where he had not straw at first? Reap where he had not sowed? No. No, he did not. He is not a hard man. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. There shall be a day of reckoning. Live in light of that day. And so, he that had received 5 talents came boldly into the presence of God, hasting unto the day of the Lord, and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, Lord, thou deliverest unto me. It was your grace which was bestowed upon me, and it was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And that should be expected, brethren. Such are the talents that God gives. They are abounding. They are increasing. They are growing. They are conquering. They have a progress, brother. If you just put it out, it will go on. It will increase. You will abound. If you will just stand in the way of the Lord and see, look for the old path, the good path, wherein you shall find rest for your soul. It's there. Just go stand. Go obey God. Just go do something. And you're bound to increase. Such is the grace of God. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant, as opposed to wicked and slothful servant. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. The joy of thy Lord. Not the joy of the Lord. The joy of thy Lord. He also said, he also that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. The Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. That's all you have to be. All you have to be, brethren, is what God made you at the beginning. The reason why God entrusted it with you in the first place is because you were worthy. Was because you were faithful. Let every man account of us as the stewards of God, the stewards of the mysteries of God. But it is accounted, it is required of stewards that they first be found faithful. That they first be found faithful before God ever entrusts them with his goods. First, it's required that they be found faithful. God gave you your talents because he saw that you were able. You were faithful. All you have to be is what you were from the beginning. Don't say in your heart, my Lord delayeth his coming and turn that servant, turn, but and if that servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. That's the heart, brethren. Slothfulness, wickedness. Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. In the end, brethren, Christ gives us warnings that few will make it. Few will be saved. Scarcely shall the elect be saved in those days. For the elect's sake, he cuts the days short, or they wouldn't make it. Those saints that are kept by the power of God. He said, except those days were shortened, no flesh will be saved. But for my elect's sake, I will cut those days short. Those saints, those elect that are kept by the infinite power of God. And he's able to keep you from falling. He's able to present you faultless. He's able. Brethren, this is a strong delusion from God. From God. That's how strong it is. Few will be saved in that day. Many that have professed faith in Jesus Christ will draw back to perdition in that day. But brethren, there is one place in all the world. If there is any place in all the world in that day that is safe, there is one place. Revelation chapter 2. The most, by far, brethren, the most persecuted church by far of all the seven churches of Asia Minor. Smyrna. Chapter 2, verse 8 through 11. I won't read it. That's the church of Smyrna. And brethren, no church was in greater tribulation. No church knew greater poverty. No church was more imprisoned, more persecuted, more buffeted than this church. And they were the best. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. The church of Smyrna. The church of the living God. Safest place to be in all the world in this hour, in this day that is coming upon us. Now! The church of the living God. The assemblies of God. Don't forsake them. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. But exhort one another. Because brethren, if the deceitfulness of sin is creeping in at any time more than another, it is in this time, in this hour. And thus many are being hardened. Many are being deceived by the deceitfulness of sin. Lust of other things. Creeping in, choking out the good word of God. If at any time in all of history, it's at this time that it's going to be the worst. And at this time, brethren, if at any time Satan is going to tempt you away from assembling yourself with the church of God. At this time. And this is the time, if at any time, you need more than ever to not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. But exhorting one another. Exhorting one another. While it is called today. And so much the more as you see that day approaching. So much the more as ye see that day approaching. And it's coming. Paul's saying to the Hebrews, it's coming. He that tarrieth shall tarry, but he shall come. Be ready. He's coming. Judgment's coming. Those days that Christ spoke immediately of in Matthew 24, those days are coming. And you need to be ready. You need to be watchful. At any time, this time, church. That's the safest place in all the world. In this hour that shall come upon the earth. The assemblies of God. Church of the living God. Smyrna was saved, brethren. though most of false professing Christianity in that generation perished, went to hell. Smyrna made it. Why? Because Smyrna stayed together. Smyrna was under Christ. Smyrna was persecuted. They were faint but enduring. Pursuing. I believe that. I believe. Continue with the saints. Continue in the Son. Don't forsake the assemblies of God. Practically be exhorted daily. So much the more as you see, as you perceive, this day is coming. Quicker and quicker. Quicker. It's coming. It's hasty. My heart is so enlarged, brethren. In this matter, to me it's comfortable. To me it's so pleasing. It's so blessed. This is consolation to my soul. If it's not to you, something wrong with you. Not God, not His Word. Something's wrong with you. Not because these words, these scriptures are just so fierce, so hard. These words should be ministering comfort. If you're ready, if you're right, if you're watching. If you love someone, brethren, you'll wait for them. Truly love someone, you'll look for their fear. The short marriage that I've had many long journeys. The kingdom of God is likened unto a man that took a long journey. I've taken many long journeys, weeks at a time. My wife hasn't come with me. We've been separated now over these just barely 4 years of marriage, multiple months. 4 months, 5 months, something like this, maybe even upwards to 6 months of our short marriage, we've been separated. And at the coming, at my appearing, brethren, she's watching. She's waiting, she's ready. Why? Because she loves me. She's not looking for another. Not watching for another. She's not caring for the things of her household, of these things, these just carnal things. She's waiting for me. Because she loves me. And I would be appalled, brethren, if I had been gone for 2-3 weeks. And I'm, but by the grace of God, I'm heartbroken. I'm homesick after a day, longing for my wife, longing for my children. After one day, but by the grace of God, He sustains me. He upholds me. My wife, because she loves me, she feels the same, but God upholds her. And we die to ourselves. We die to our feelings. And we go on with God, and God sustains us. He upholds us. But when that time draws near, brethren, she's waiting. She's watching for me. And if I came in and she had forgotten, I told her, I had called, I had announced, I had alerted her, she had set alarms, everything's set, she's watching, she's waiting for my appearing, my coming, my return. And if somehow it just slipped her mind, somehow she forgot, she just got carried away with all the normal things of the day, and she just forgot at what hour I would come, brethren, I would be astonished, I would question her love for me. Is it real? Is she still in love with me as the first day we met? Has she kept her first love? I'm going to question that, reasonably so. And brethren, if that is what natural, carnal, human love requires of you, how much more divine love? If you love Him, you will wait for Him. You will be watching. You will be ready. Even at midnight, you will be watching. Be ready. Not preaching anything to you other than the life of a normal Christian. They just love Jesus Christ. They just look for Him all the time. They just want nothing else but Him. That's it. So easy for these things that we preach, these scriptures that we read, so easy for them to become stories to us. Lack the reality, urgency of it. Brethren, when all these things come to pass, all these things come to pass, we'll consider it perfectly. Be so clear the way you should live, be right before your eyes. Won't be fairy tales anymore that Christ is actually going to come. He's actually going to say these things that He said He would. He's actually going to have these judgments. He's actually going to speak these eternal benedictions over His faithful servants. Believe His word. Live in light of it. Talk often of it. Think about it. Dream about it. Daydream about it. Love Him. He's coming. Christ is coming. Second coming of your beloved. Second coming of your well-beloved, longed for, hoped for, earnestly desired. One whom your soul loveth. That's who's coming. For those that look for Him, will He appear the second time without sin unto salvation? And look for Him. To those that are looking for Him, it will be a blessed reunion. It will be a day of rest and gladness. It will be a day of great rejoicing. What a day of rejoicing that will be when my Jesus, your Jesus, you shall see. You look upon His face, brethren. You're going to look upon His face. How sad, how miserable will it be to be found not looking for Him. Not looking for Him who so loved you. Who so poured out His life blood. Left His glory. Left the love in the bosom of His eternal Father. For you to be found not looking for Him. Dreadful, miserable law. But brethren, only those will be found of Him in that miserable condition who did not fear, who were not faithful, who were wicked, slothful servants, who said in their heart, "My Lord delayeth His coming," who said in their heart, this lie. Believed it, embraced it, gloried in their shame. Those are the only ones. To everyone else, God is tearing for it. He's waiting for it. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Waiting. After a long time, He came. He's waiting for you to be faithful. Look, to watch, to stir up your heart with love towards your Lord, towards your Savior. That's absolutely reasonable. Anything else is absolutely asinine, absurd, unreasonable, madness. Anything else is folly. Worthy. He's coming.